For our scripture reading, we turn to Proverbs chapter 22. We read the whole chapter. The focus will be on verse 6. Proverbs chapter 22. A good name is rather to be chosen than great riches, and loving favor rather than silver and gold. The rich and poor meet together. The Lord is the maker of them all. A prudent man foreseeth the evil and hideth himself, but the simple pass on and are punished. By humility and the fear of the Lord are riches and honor and life. Thorns and snares are in the way of the froward. He that doth keep his soul shall be far from them. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. The rich ruleth over the poor, and the borrower is servant to the lender. He that soweth iniquity shall reap vanity, and the rod of his anger shall fail. He that hath a bountiful eye shall be blessed, for he giveth of his bread to the poor. Cast out the scorner, and contention shall go out. Yea, strife and reproach shall cease. He that loveth pureness of heart, for the grace of his lips the king shall be his friend. The eyes of the Lord preserve knowledge, and he overthroweth the words of the transgressor. The slothful man saith, there is a lion without, I shall be slain in the streets. The mouth of strange women is a deep pit. He that is abhorred of the Lord shall fall therein. Foolishness is bound in the heart of a child, but the rod of correction shall drive it far from him. He that oppresseth the poor to increase his riches, and he that giveth to the rich shall surely come to want. Bow down thine ear and hear the words of the wise, and apply thine heart unto my knowledge. For it is a pleasant thing if thou keep them within thee. They shall withal be fitted in thy lips. That thy trust may be in the Lord, I have made known to thee this day, even to thee. Have not I written to thee excellent things in counsels and knowledge, that I might make thee know the certainty of the words of truth, that thou mightest answer the words of truth to them that send unto thee? Rob not the poor, because he is poor. Neither oppress the afflicted in the gate. For the Lord will plead their cause, and spoil the soul of those that spoiled them. Make no friendship with an angry man, and with a furious man thou shalt not go, lest thou learn his ways, and get a snare to thy soul. Be not thou one of them that strike hands, or of them that are sureties for debts. If thou hast nothing to pay, why should he take away thy bed from under thee? Remove not the ancient landmark which thy fathers have set. Seest thou a man diligent in his business? He shall stand before kings. He shall not stand before mean men. So far, our scripture reading. The text is verse 6. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. Beloved congregation in our Lord Jesus Christ, this passage, this text we look at this morning is, by all accounts, a very humbling and intimidating passage. I think our first inclination when we read this passage, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. I think our first inclination when we read the passage is to qualify it. Perhaps even to disagree with this portion of God's word. After all, we might say, what about those children of believers who have grown up and have turned to the pathway of sin? What about those children who did have a good upbringing, but now have grown up and left the church? Are you willing to say that the parents of those children were unfaithful in the raising of those children? What are you saying about me, Pastor, if my child is one of those children who has gone astray? Are you saying I wasn't faithful as a parent? Well, if that's the attitude that we take right away, then it seems the only alternative we have is to say that Proverbs 22, verse 6 is not true. That's why I say that this text is, in all reality, a very humbling and intimidating text. Yes, we should all understand the reality that election and reprobation also cuts through the lines of God's covenant people. Yes, we should all understand that parents are not able to give their children a new heart. Only God can do that. And God doesn't call parents to do that kind of thing. Yes, we know the truth that God is sovereign in who our children are and what they become when they grow up. But congregation, let's not try to qualify this verse as soon as we get our hands on it and give ourselves an excuse as soon as we are finished reading these words. Rather, let us be sober and let us appreciate the verse for what it is saying. That's how we need to approach the text. Especially for those with young children, these are words for you. Those with older children, for the most part, the moment has passed. Those parents had their moment of influence to influence their children. Now their children have to learn to make their own choices. I speak a word of urgency this morning, especially to those with young children. This verse speaks the truth. And we all know that it speaks the truth. Even the ungodly in the world understand the truth of this verse. This is a maxim. This is a truism. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. That's the simple reality. Now, if this passage pricks you, then let it prick you. And if this passage warns you, then let it warn you. And if this passage is provoking you to good works and to change what you're doing, then let it provoke you to good works and change what you're doing. And if this passage is encouraging you and comforting you, then let it encourage you and comfort you all the more and strengthen you in the work you are doing. What this passage is doing is setting before covenant parents the awesome and urgent calling to train up their children at the time when those children can yet be trained. Because as a general rule, when they are old, they are going to follow in the footsteps they learned to walk in when they were under your instruction. We take as our theme, train up a child. We look at that theme under 3 points. First, we look at the parents' profound influence. Second, we look at the parents' high calling. And third, we look at the parents' strong encouragement. As we begin looking at this proverb, the main truth we need to appreciate is this. Parents, especially parents, have a profound influence on the life and direction of their children. This is undeniable. We all know it to be true. It's a proverb. The apple doesn't fall far from the tree, and it's more than just genetics. God has made parents a mighty power and influence in the life of the child that lives in their home. Children are so impressionable. Children are so receptive to a parent's instruction. And right there, we might be inclined to say, well, I have a strong-willed child. We say, Pastor, you don't know my child. My child is a strong-willed child. And already there, we're inclined to contradict God's word. That's not what God's word says. The whole point of Proverbs 22, verse 6, is to emphasize the profound influence and the ability to shape a child that God gives to parents. God has made believing parents instruments in His hands to mold His children in godliness and to mold them for time and for eternity, for good or evil. Whether I am conscious of the fact that I am molding my child or not, it is happening. In the very attitude I take towards my child, in the very attitude I take towards this proverb, I am molding my child. I am either showing my child that I believe this word of God and I submit to it, or I am teaching my child that although God's word says I have a profound influence on my child, God's word isn't really true. One way or another, in absolutely everything we do, in every attitude we have, in every position we take, we as parents are influencing and shaping our own children. Your very presence with your child, your lack of presence with your child, makes an impression on your child. Beloved, this is a truth that should drive a believing parent to his knees every single day, begging God for His grace. And it is a wonder. God is pleased to use parents to do something that cannot be undone. The influence of a parent on a child cannot be outlived. That influence of a parent on a child will have its effect for the rest of that child's life. This reality of the profound influence of a parent is taught and emphasized in the passage in two different ways. First, the passage uses the word child. Now, that word child is a general word for the word child that includes all the different stages of childhood development from infancy all the way to adulthood. And a child is a wonder, isn't she? A mother holds her child in her hands and she stands amazed. Here's a little girl who fits into my tiny arms. And that child has a soul. This child who came out of my womb will exist forever and ever, either in heaven or hell. This child we brought forth or that we adopted will exist forever. That's amazing. But the point is, a child is very impressionable. Even during his high school days, a child is very impressionable. And this comes out further when the text says, train up a child in the way he should go. Or more literally, train up a child at the mouth of his way. Train up a child at the entrance of his way. The idea is this. When a child is born, a child begins on a course or a way of life. Train up that child at the very beginning of his course, at the very beginning of his pathway, at the very outset of his way of life, and you can shape him and you can mold him so that when he is old, when he is mature, he doesn't depart from that way you set him on. Think, for example, of an oak tree. You have a tiny little oak sapling. You can shape that sapling. As it grows, you can prune it very easily. Make sure that it grows straight and tall. But now if you neglect that tree and you wait until it grows up and it's full grown before you do anything, you can try all you want, but it's going to be ineffective. That tree's already full grown. It's too late. Now, true, you can't turn an oak tree into an apple tree, but you can raise up that oak tree in the way it should go. Or perhaps think of a vine. When that vine is yet very small and flexible, you can weave that vine through trellises and through arbors, directing it up where you want it to grow. But when that vine is full grown and thick, you can't do anything with it. It is what it is. And if you don't like how it's grown, well, your best option is simply to cut it down and start over. That's the same idea in this verse when it comes to the raising of a child. My own family has experienced that this past year. One of our children needs help with her speech. She doesn't speak very clearly. And what do we always keep hearing? The earlier you get started, the better. And that's the same with the spiritual training of a child. At the first opening of a child's intelligence, be training that child in the way of the Lord. That's the idea of the verse. Now, this becomes all the more important when we consider who and what the child is. What is the child who is to be trained? And there are two things to point out here. First, we understand a child is not born neutral. A child is not born with a clean slate, as if all he has to do is receive the first impressions that are placed upon him. No, as we read in the baptism form already, a child is born with a sinful nature. Our children have sinful natures that incline them to sin from their earliest years. That first of all, but then second, since we're talking here about a covenant child, we also need to bear in mind that a covenant child is to be viewed as a regenerated child of God. And so the reality is, our children are just like us. They have an old man of sin. They have a new man in Christ. Just like us, they love God, yet they also have a corrupt nature and a foolish heart. We read it in Proverbs 22, verse 15. Foolishness is bound up in the heart of a child, but the rod of correction shall drive it far away from him. Proverbs 19, verse 15 puts it this way. A child left to himself bringeth his mother to shame. And so as we consider who the child is, there are two ways in which the child can grow and develop. There's the way that he should go, the pathway of righteousness, and there's the way that he would go of himself, the pathway of wickedness. And the point of Proverbs 22, verse 6 is this. This is exactly where parents have a profound influence. Parents, look at your child. Look at your children. These children, we are confident, have both an old man and a new man. The question is, how are you going to influence that child? How are you going to help that child as the child of the Lord? It's at this point that I want to point out another possibility of reading the passage. Another way of reading the passage, this might be new, but this is what some will suggest. Another way of reading the passage is like this. Train up a child in his own way, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. Now, that's a little bit different reading of the passage, and if we read it that way, then it's definitely a warning. Train up a child in his own way, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. Now, that's a little bit different translation, but the idea, the emphasis is the same, the profound influence that parents have. The way we can describe it is like this. Look at an adult. Why does an adult behave the way that he behaves or she behaves? Why does an adult behave a certain way? Maybe when you grow up, you see this in yourself and you see it in your siblings and you see different people act differently, obviously. Maybe we see it in ourselves. Maybe we see it in others. Why does an adult behave so selfishly? There are adults who are selfish and self-centered. Why do those adults act that way? There are other adults that are rude. Why are they rude? There are other adults that are abusive. Why are they abusive? There are other adults who are constantly struggling with discontentment or with pride. All of us struggle with those. There are adults who are childish. They are immature. Why are they this way? There are adults you can't trust a word that comes out of their mouth. They don't speak the truth. They mock others behind their backs. Why do they, as adults, act that way? There are even adults who gravitate towards these kinds of people. They feel comfortably inclined towards these kinds of behaviors more than others. Why? Well, we should understand that we each have our own sinful nature, and we all have our own unique sins and besetting sins we are inclined to more than other people. We don't deny that at all. But the answer is also this. To a great degree, They learned these things as children. They were not driven away from these things as children. Perhaps the case is even this. Their parents, instead of driving them away from these things, taught them these things. You understand, it's a reality. Parents have a profound influence on their children. In your small talk, in your jokes, talking about others, in your facial gestures, in all the battles you choose to take up, and all the battles you choose not to take up, you are influencing your children. And you know what we parents are inclined to do? Maybe I'm speaking here more about myself, but I think this is a reality. We as parents are inclined to minimize our influence. We're inclined even to take a more fatalistic approach to the behavior of our children, even when they're only 3, 4, 5 years old. Oh, little Johnny, he's just like his uncle. Or little Susie, she's just like her grandmother. And parents say these things. We say these things almost with a little bit of jest. But the issue is this. Okay, so you see character traits in your child that you see in an adult. And I can definitely say that with my children too. The question now is this. Are these things good? Are these things that need to be corrected? Or are these things, in fact, alarming? You are a parent. The Lord has given you a job to do. The point is, let us not become fatalistic in how our children behave. It's almost like some parents say this. This is how my little child behaves. As if this is just the child I've been given and that's the end of the story. Almost as if parents already know that their children are misbehaving and the parents are seeking even to give themselves an excuse before anyone else can say anything about how their little children are behaving. This is a hard word, isn't it? And these parents are completely giving up already now their own responsibilities because they're already anticipating that they're failing in their calling. And they're too proud to change anything, so they give an excuse. They let their children go their own way. Train up a child in his own way. And when he's old, he will not depart from it. Parents probably even feel it. I feel it sometimes. And I have to turn and repent. I'm not training my child right now. No. So what if your child has certain character traits? So what? Your calling is to train them up in the way they should go. We understand your calling is not to give them a new heart. But if you view them as God's children and bring them up for baptism, then you're going to train them as God's children too. Your calling is to train them and mold them for good. God has put you as a parent in a holy position to be able to influence your child. Help that child out. Influence that child for good. Whatever his or her character traits are, mold those character traits so that they are pressed into the service of God's glory. Parents can so easily give up the opportunity to influence their children for good. They're distracted by the internet. They're distracted by their cell phones. They're consumed with taking on too much work. They're out of the house when they shouldn't be. They pursue money and they pursue their own ambition to the neglect of their children. How are your children being influenced? One thing you can be sure of, they are being influenced. One thing you can be sure of, you are influencing them. By all your decision making, you are influencing them. They are your responsibility. God makes it this way. Parents, it's when your children are young that you have the opportunity to train and influence them. They grow up soon enough. Soon they're going to be that oak tree. Soon they're going to be that full-grown vine. And that vine is going to be set for the rest of its life as a general rule. You won't be able to cut it down and start over again. You won't be able to mold your children when they're old. You need to do it now. And we should understand, God has made it this way. God has made our children to be impressionable in His mercy. He has done that for us as parents so that we can shape them and mold them. That's why He so often places His elect children in the homes of believers. And God says, use this opportunity as my servant, to do your child, to do my child good. If you let the moment pass you by, it's gone. When he is old, he will not depart from it. That's the parent's profound influence. That needs to sink into us. That brings us to the parent's high calling. Train up a child in the way he should go. Let us notice, first of all, that word train. The word train could also be translated as dedicate. Or it could also come from the word that means to narrow or to choke. The idea is narrow down the child, choke up the child, dedicate the child for this one thing. Don't treat your child as if your child gets to choose whatever fancies his pleasure. Narrow up the way of that child so that child learns to walk in the path of righteousness. That's training. That's coaching. That's what Hannah must have done for her little boy Samuel before she brought him to live in the temple. She trained him. She narrowed him up for his service to the Lord. When I think of training, I think the main part of it is this. Focus on the heart. You hit your brother? Not only is that wrong, but let's look at what was in your heart when you did that. You're not listening to your mother? Not only is that deeply offensive to God, but let's look at what was in your heart when you did that. You were hating your mother. You were proud and selfish, and you were wicked. This is the way that you should go, my child. The way of respect and honor and integrity and sincerity and honesty. And I am going to dedicate you to this way so that every single day again, whenever this matter comes up, we're going to deal with it honestly. We're going to look at the heart and I'm going to treat you like that vine. And as you grow as a vine, I'm going to place another branch up the trellis. So that as you continue to grow, you learn to grow in this direction, the fear of the Lord. And we need to be consistent. Every single day, every time this comes up, there will be correction so that you learn to listen to your mother without challenge, without delay, and without excuse. You need to learn to live under authority. That's the rest of your life. This is the first commandment God gives to children with a promise. You need to learn to live under God's authority. And I will model that for you, my child, by showing you that this is what I have to do under God's authority. This is my calling as a parent. I have to live under God's authority. And God calls me in Proverbs 22, verse 6, to train you up in the way you should go. I have to dedicate you to the Lord. So we're in this together. We're serving the Lord together. Because together we're God's covenant people. That's the word train every day. And then train up a child in the way he should go. And what is that way? What's the way of God's word? It's the way of the scriptures. God's word tells us how to live. And so when you train your children, bring God's word to bear upon their lives. That's the heart of all training. Don't just tell them this is what dad says. In one sense, don't get me wrong. In one sense, who cares about what dad says? But what dad says really matters. But what does God say? So train your children with your Bibles open. Do you ever do that? This is not what dad is saying. This is what God's word says. Ephesians 6 verse 1. What does that say, my child? You know what it says. Train with your Bibles open so that in every area of life, the child learns the will of his God written on the pages of Scripture, and that child is consciously using this to direct his pathway. Again, it's worth emphasizing, your child is going to be an adult before you realize it. What kind of an adult do you want your child to be? Do you want him to be an adult that fears the Lord so that he is a loving, nurturing husband? So that she is a faithful wife, so that he honors those in authority, he honors the office bearers, he loves the church, she stays away from temptation, she's wise unto salvation, he's prudent, he's humble, he's got a generous heart. Her friendships are honorable. He's jealous for the Lord's glory and all his entertainment. His heart is totally dedicated to the Lord. He speaks to strangers in the gate about the glories of the church. You want that? Train him up in the way he should go. And of course, we don't just do this as parents. We also do this as a covenant community. We do this as a congregation. We do this as a covenant community, God's people. That's exactly also why we have our good Christian schools, because we band together as covenant parents. We band together as a whole covenant community. And we say, let's look out for all these children. Let's work on this together. We stand or we fall as a covenant community. We're not independent. Together, let us train up these children in the way they should go. And how thankful we can be that God supplies us with godly teachers who do such a fine job helping us in this calling as a covenant community. Be thankful for the teachers that God has given us. And pray for them too. Well, that leads us to consider the question, how do we carry out this high calling? How do we do this? I've already touched on a few things. Let me mention just three things. Number one, you're going to train them through your own example. That's what's going to happen. That can't be emphasized enough. Children are imitators. Children mimic their parents. The Bible tells us that we, as the children of God, are called to mimic Him. And we must be able to call our own children to mimic us. Be an example to your children. And if you are not an example, then repent and change. Be an example to your children of honesty. Be an example of how you live in covenant community. Be an example of humility. Be an example in how you deal with your spouse. If a man is evil with his wife, if a man barks at his wife like a dog and he's touchy and irritable and cruel towards his wife, and he doesn't repent of that before his children, if he's yelling at his wife and the phone rings, and he answers the phone and he can act like Mr. Nice Guy as if a button has been pressed, he talked to the stranger on the phone very politely, and then he can put back on the phone, and again, picks up where he started off before. He's not kind to his wife, you understand. That man is in total control of himself. That man, that woman who does the same, that father, that mother, is in total control of himself. What he is doing is completely intentional and deliberate. He's able to act that way, control himself when he picks up the phone, and he is able to give himself over to speaking that way to his family member because he thinks he's entitled to it. He's justified. He's right in acting this way. It's a problem with his heart. We need to appreciate that. That's my self-control, choosing the way of sin. And the children see it, and the children understand it intuitively. They understand the sin. The man gets off the phone. He bites his wife's head off with his angry speech. That man is teaching his children that God's word actually has no authority in his life. And that man is teaching his children doctrine. He's teaching his children false doctrine. He's teaching his children that God's word only needs to be obeyed when others are watching us. Otherwise, I am the king of my own domain. And God says, train up a child that way? When he's 2, 3, 4 years old, before he's off to school and he sees it all? And when your child is old, he will not depart from it. You are an example. Be an example of holiness and repentance in your own home. It's a proverb. Number two, cultivate a climate of spiritual openness. Parents, speak about your faith. Live out your faith. Sing with your children, pray with your children, talk about your spiritual struggles, where you do fall into sin, and you repent. Repent to your children. Talk to them about these struggles of walking in the path of holiness and putting away sin. Talk to your children about your love for God and the joys of walking in God's ways and the misery of falling into sin. Talk to your children about the unspeakable gift of Jesus Christ and his death on the cross. What unspeakable love of God towards us, who are children of wrath by nature, and still now such obstinate, rebellious children, that he gave his only begotten Son to die for our sins, that we might have an inheritance in glory, and already now be called his children. Share with your children the wonderful stories of the Bible and how exciting they are to you and how they grip you and your own soul. Tell them about Adam and Eve. Tell them about the fall into sin. Tell about the terrible consequences of the fall. And then tell them about the gospel and Jesus Christ and the love of God. Again and again, bring to them the gospel. Tell them about the powerful work of the Holy Spirit and the power of God's grace in the hearts of sinners so that we are given faith to believe and repent and we can put this sin from us. Teach your children how to pray. Show them how to begin their prayers. They're going to ask you. Hopefully they ask you. I don't know how to start. Teach them. This is how you do it. Influence the prayer lives of your children for good. Parents, you will influence the prayer lives of your children. You will. Either it will be a good influence or it won't. You will influence their prayer lives. There's really so much to say. One last thing to emphasize. Number three, teach your children about love. This is what is motivating everything. My love for the Lord God, my love for Jesus, the love that he has worked in my own heart. I can't help but do this. This is what he commands me to do, and I want to do it. What does love look like here? What does God's love look like? How are we supposed to love him? How are we supposed to love each other? Focus on love, because that gets to the heart of it. That's what we're aiming at, the heart of it. Training the hearts of the children. That's the high calling. So we've looked at the profound influence that parents have. We've looked at the high calling God gives parents and all of us. And now finally, we look at the strong encouragement parents are given. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. That's encouragement, beloved. That's strong encouragement for covenant parents to take up this calling God has given them. A godly parent will have an indelible, an indestructible mark upon his child and his child's life. Now, this encouragement can be understood a few different ways. First of all, it doesn't mean that with all your training, you can make your child a regenerated child of God. We understand that's the work of the Holy Spirit. But second of all, it does mean this. The training of a believing parent must have its fruit. Even if a young person, a young adult, attempts to silence the godly instruction he received in his childhood, his faithful parents, that instruction will force itself back into his memory. Even for an unbeliever, the instruction he receives as a child, it will disturb him. It will disturb the pleasures of sin. It will spoil the sweetness that he imagined his sin would have. And that's kind of the sad effect we so often see. We raise up our children, and some of those children turn away, and they're miserable. They're plunging into sin, and their life is a disappointment. And we see it, and they themselves understand it. God gives them no peace in that way. He will know better, and it will have its effect. And either he learns to repent or he spends a miserable life in his sin. But thirdly, it also means this. For those children who are God's elect children, who are raised in the fear of his name, your godly instruction as a parent will bear its good fruit. Your child raised in the fear of the Lord will not depart from it. Learning humility and love and grace and the path of righteousness as a child, he will know how to behave himself when he gets older. And many of us as parents who are older, and even grandparents, if we still could, ought to thank our parents. Thank the Lord for the good gift he has given us in the godly instruction of our own parents. This explains so much of our lives in our 40s and 50s and 60s. It won't depart from him. And even when your own child is an aged man and you are long in the grave, your body, and your soul's in glory, your child will still be walking in God's ways, also still being a blessing to his children and grandchildren and to the church and the children of the church. And that, I say, is a rich, strong encouragement that God gives his people. So what is our calling as parents? Like always, our calling is to live by faith in the Word of God. Live by faith in the promises of God. Raise your children understanding that how they behave themselves as adults is in so many ways, as a general rule, the result of the influence you had upon them as children. Yes, that's a reason for all of us. Not a single one is left out of this. That's a reason for all of us to confess our sin and repent and be humble. No parent is perfect. Far from it. We acknowledge that every good fruit that our labors bring is only due to God's abounding grace. But this is also a great reason, a great motivation, especially for young parents, to lay their hand to the plow and not look back and take up the work that God has given them. Parents, do not neglect the calling that God has given you. I say this for your own sake. I say this for the sake of the church. Recognize the influence you have on your children. Meditate for a moment on what the gospel means to you personally. Meditate on your own love and devotion to Jesus Christ and his church. That love for God and his church, which God has worked in you, let that be the love you seek to have instilled in your children. Be much in prayer. Bring yourself to the Lord in prayer. Acknowledge before him that without his blessing, all your labor is in vain. Freely acknowledge that without his grace, you can do nothing. But then also plead the promises of his word. Ask him daily for the grace to be faithful to your vows. And then bring your children to God in prayer. Bring them daily to your heavenly Father in prayer. And then when you're finished your prayer, rise up from your knees in the hope and the confidence that God will accomplish his own good pleasure. And then take up this calling with all your might. Train up a child in the way he should go. And when he is old, he will not depart from it. That's the wisdom of Christ Jesus. Amen. Let us pray. Lord, thou hast shown us in another way thy mercy to us, showing us that our children are impressionable and can be influenced for good. We know that. Help us, Lord, to take up that opportunity and that calling. Of ourselves, we have nothing and are nothing. We depend entirely upon thee. Thou who hast begun a good work in us, who has moved us to make these vows. Also, give us the doing, the fulfilling of these vows. For the glory of thy name. For the spiritual happiness and joy of these children, whom we love so much. Bless this congregation, that from one generation to the next, we might continue to walk in the ways that we should go. In Jesus' name alone we pray. Amen.